everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring, the only show that gives you both magic and amateurs.
Yeah, that's right. Every other show out there is lacking one of those two key components.
Exactly.
Or it might be missing the connector word in the middle.
The,
exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that use or, and, but,
or just nothing, while. They just shove them together.
Ugh.
Like
so dirty.
Putting words together?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever played a game of Scrabble?
Have you ever had a conjunction junction? Wink.
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, well, we give you all three of those things. Magic, amateurs, and the.
So, everybody, just this past weekend was Pro Tour Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch.
Wow, what a big weekend for magic everywhere.
Absolutely, but especially for the city of Atlanta.
Yes. The city of Atlanta had magic dropped on it, much like an atom bomb.
Yes.
It exploded with glory and left ruin in its wake.
It certainly did leave some ruin in its lake.
We broke those vending machines in the convention center. They could not dispense any more pop.
You tipped them over and shattered the glass.
All I know is by the last day, one of the machines was out of order.
You went full apocalypse on it.
I mean, and why not? The Eldrazi came to Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch and just decimated it.
They certainly did. Fuck you, Gatewatch.
Are you an ally? Sorry, bad news. You've been destroyed. Yeah, the story of the weekend was the Eldrazi decks for sure.
Oh my goodness, six copies.
In the top eight.
Six copies of Eldrazi's in the top eight.
They were not all the same deck list, but they were pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I mean, it was just shocking. They were saying, guess what? These teams broke the format. And,
yeah,
and
except it wasn't shocking because none of them played Shocklands. You're welcome.
One of the decks had Shivan Reef.
Yeah, that's not a shock land.
What? Doesn't it deal with one? Oh,
that's a pain land.
That's a pain land.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's a big difference between shock and pain, Maria.
Megan, I don't want to know about your personal time.
Look, I'm just saying, look, are we ever going to have awe lands? Because then we could have shock and awe.
What would an awe land be?
I have literally no idea.
It would be like when you play it, like a kitten comes and sits in your lap.
Aww.
The downside
because that's the type of awe that the phrase shock and awe is talking about.
Yeah, it is. Think about this. Okay, so you tap it for mana, a kitten comes sits in your lap, and everyone's like, aw. But then the downside is, because there always has to be a downside to these lands, because they're too good, you now have a cat, and you need to take care of it for the rest of your life.
Exactly, and you can't like, give it away.
No.
Because you guys, if you adopt for life.
Yeah.
Let's keep it clear.
You're a forever family now.
Exactly. To these kittens.
Which is not a bad thing, but if you tap that for, you know, mana more than once or twice, you've got three cats on your hand.
I know, which is a lot of cats.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it is. You know, and I love cats.
But three is a lot.
Three is a lot.
Well, Maria.
Yeah, Megan.
We were talking about Eldrazi.
Oh, sure, yeah. So, anyway, I was at Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. It was a fantastic time. I was a spotter, tracking people's cards in hand, running some graphics. But what I did on the side while I was there was take a tour around the venue.
Ooh.
To give everybody a look at behind the scenes and in front of the scenes at Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. I also interviewed, I think the technical term is, a shit ton of pros.
Oh, man. You measured it?
Yeah, I sure did. A metric shit ton of pros. And everybody was quite lovely. And I decided, hey, why not put video with this? Because we're a video podcast now.
Yeah.
Thanks to Tulare Community College and the professor.
Absolutely.
So we had video interviews with a whole bunch of pros as well.
What? You can not just only hear their voices. You can see their faces to make sure it's not Maria and I putting on different voices and pretending to be like, a bunch of different pros.
I'm LSV. Pun, 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 pun. How'd you like that impression?
Exactly. My name is Owen Tartnall. That was just...
Oh, my God. That was just old-timey prospector.
I know.
As Owen Turtenwald.
Is an old-timey prospector.
Horrible impression.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was great. It was really great.
So this is a podcast, first and foremost, and we like to keep it that way, but we do have a video podcast now, and I think that this is going to make the best use of our video podcast that we've What are you laughing about?
I was just laughing at you saying that we'd like to keep it a podcast, and then I was imagining us doing video with no audio.
What I meant is that you will always be able to love us in podcast form, even though we have also added video. Like, what a worthless show that would be.
Just video. And not like text at the bottom or anything. No, just us talking, but no audio. Sound.
Perfect. Yeah, so, but this is the first time I think your episode about Lands Before Our Time really showcased our video episode as well, because the professor put all the cards you were talking up on
which
screen,
was really
which
nice.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
But this time, you'll hear it, and I will try and edit it so that you'll enjoy it as an audio listener as well. But if you go and watch the video on Friday, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be doubly worth it, because you'll get to see behind the scenes. I'll be referencing things you can't see in the audio version. So I would suggest going and checking it out.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you always learn more from pros when you can see their faces.
That's a fact.
You know, half of what they have to convey is silent and all in facial expression.
Body language is half of all language. Did you know that?
What? You totally made that fact up.
Yes, I did. Hey, I'm here at the Pro Tour, and one thing you didn't know about the Planeswalkers is that they're all really tall. Oop. Okay, I'm here in the line where all Pro Tour players must enter and register for the tournament. I'm going to go through that process now so you can feel what it's like to be a pro player at Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. I'm walking backwards. This is hard. I qualified for the Pro Tour. No big deal.
Not only did you qualify, you're a platinum pro.
I'm a platinum pro? Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm here with LSV. First of all, what is this shirt?
This is a shirt from my image that gets frequently posted in Paul's stream and Cheon's stream by Parties Unknown. So
this is a horse, and this is Paul?
Yes, yes. I can't really explain it, but he doesn't like it.
Is it more important for you to have a good pro tour or to troll the most people?
A good pro tour, but who's to say you can't have both?
Okay. Right, I'm here with Adrian Sullivan. Tell me, what are you most excited for this Pro Tour?
Okay, so I guess I'm excited because I almost played Allies at this Pro Tour, and it was kind of a flavor thing, but not really, because Allies are really, really powerful.
Yeah.
And a deck like that is really silly. And I'm like, you know, who better to beat the Eldrazi than the Allies? Unfortunately, the Allies don't beat a lot of the other people, so I had to not play the Allies.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, but I was excited to play that. Now, however, I'm playing something similarly little kid funnish.
Secret, top secret.
Should I lean in a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, come in.
Soul Sisters. I'm calling my version Heartbreakers.
Why?
It's got red in it.
Okay, here we are in front of the feature match area. As you can see, they've set it up with hedrons, which is actually really cool. They're lit from within. They're still doing some work on hanging the lights up there. It looks really awesome. It looks awesome on camera, and it looks awesome in real life. All right, Matei.
What's up?
Welcome to the Pro Tour. What are you most excited for this weekend?
We're getting to see you, but it's already done, so...
This guy's such a charmer.
I can go home now, right?
Are you here with the team this weekend?
Yeah, Team Eureka.
Team Eureka.
We're standing behind me. No, I'm the brains behind the operation. No, don't tell the other guys.
Okay.
No. Just kidding. So, I think it's a good... you need good chemistry, right? So people have to be friends, be able to work together, be able to make compromises, and able to articulate their opinions. So that's always important. And I think you also need to make a good mix of like limited constructed players, like the brewers and the tuners, things like that. I think it's important to find the right mix. I'm the chief recruiter.
Okay.
So I'm always trying to identify the newest, hottest players on the market.
Well, why haven't I got a call yet?
Are you qualified? Or
I'm
you
not.
Play Magic?
Well, I do play Magic, though, so that's a point.
Good to know. I'll put you on our list.
Okay, thank you. All right, Ifro, Pro Tour, Oath of the Gatewatch. At a scale of 1 to incredible, how are you feeling?
Potato.
So you're coming in here, Hall of Famer. Does it feel different walking in?
Yeah, it's not something that really crosses your mind that often, obviously. One of the biggest honors and you could ever get, especially, you know, in a game that you care about so much. So that it doesn't feel different walking in, but it does feel great knowing that, you know, you've done what you kind of set out to do in Magic, that people have recognized that, and that's always just a great feeling.
Okay, we're gonna go behind the scenes now. Let's go.
Ooh, it's like a spooky cave in here. Check it out. It's the desk, the news coverage desk.
That's wonderful, Rich. Thank you for asking. Oh, yes, Maria. What do you think about the new oath format? Well, Rich, I think it's great to draft white.
This is super convenient.
It's huge. So, Tim, tell me, what's it like to be a commentator on the Pro Tour?
I mean, it's pretty awesome because you get to watch the best players in the world playing Magic. And we have so many different angles and buttons and things to look at.
Yeah, if you can come back here and see, you've got monitors here and here.
Yeah, so we'll be able to see exactly what the people at home are seeing. Plus, we'll have an overhead camera showing exactly what's going on in the game. Plus, we'll have monitors showing us what's in both players' hands, which we can kind of switch between. And then we've got, you know, our guides for all the cards, our guides for all the teams.
That's
and so
handy.
On.
Do you feel like your British accent helps you be good at your job?
It doesn't hurt.
I'm standing here with the myth, the legend, the man, Frank Carson.
That's not my name.
All right, Frank LaFleur, tell me, this is your first Pro Tour. A lot of people don't know that.
No, they don't. They have no idea. Here we are.
Oh, how
I'm
are you
excited.
Feeling?
I'm excited. It's good. Like, there's no. I don't feel a lot of pressure right now.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I thought it would be like super tense, but like it's actually pretty relaxed.
Yeah, it's
I'm
pretty chill.
I'm gonna come tomorrow.
Chill.
I'm playing some free drafts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play some Modern, and if we win, we win.
That's a great way to look at it.
I mean, I'm gonna win the Pro Tour, but I, you know, if I for some reason don't,
yeah,
that's fine too.
Fortune. I'm here with don't Frank LaFleur. I mean, Carson.
Oh, no.
Tell me, how are you feeling coming into this Pro Tour?
I'm feeling good. I'm going to play a deck that I'm really familiar with, so I enjoy that. I drafted a bunch, and playing Magic is always fun, so it's
going to be great. So you're not going to experiment and try and break the format. You're going with your strength.
Yes. I think, well, especially in Modern, just go with experience. The format is so diverse that just playing a deck that you know inside out is more valuable.
All right, Brian Kibler.
Hi.
How are you feeling coming into this Pro Tour?
I've been more prepared for tournaments in the past. I actually only flew out here on Wednesday. I've been playing a lot of Magic Online, but only for the past week or so. But, I mean, it's Modern. It's a format I've played a lot of before. Obviously, there's new cards, and the banning's will have a big impact. But there's a lot of decks that I'm familiar with in the format, so I'm feeling all right.
So can you confirm for me that Shiro came with you on this trip, and I can pet Shiro?
Sadly, Shiro's a little too big to fly.
You could strap him in and buy him a ticket, and he's just sitting in the little seat?
They actually don't let you. We would. I mean,
really?
I would totally buy him a ticket. He would just sit there, like, you know, like, just, like, smiling and like, you know.
A lot of people don't know that you can qualify for the Pro Tour if you're a mannequin. These two players have qualified at their local PTQs. What's going to be your Modern deck? Oh, I'm playing Moggles! Oh, a girl after my own heart. I can't go on. There's too many pros to interview. Interviewing pros is hard work. I'm here interviewing one of the very Hedrons that's famous for the card Hedron Alignment. Okay, Mr. Hedron, or Miss, I don't know. Tell me, what's the best part about putting a bunch of yourselves around an Eldrazi? The strong, silent type, I guess. Okay, Eric Severson, tell me, Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch, how are you feeling? You did pretty good after Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, a large part is just being very, very excited to be here.
What's your tips for people who want to just kill at OGW Draft? Don't worry, this is not going live until after the
Pro
Tour.
Yeah, so my favorite color is...
Bring it in.
So my favorite color right now is green.
Yeah, me too, man. And white.
So it's, I think, tied for about the most powerful color. I'm not sure if it's objectively the best, but we found decks of that color doing by far the best in all our draft practices. Saddleback Lagak is great and just...
adorable.
He's basically been the mascot. He's become a big meme for us. We've been...
He's the mascot of my show too!
We've been singing songs about him.
What? Sing it.
I don't know, like, Baby Lagak, you can bring it all on me. Like, there's all kinds, it's just...
Y'all.
Hi.
Community Cup friend. Let's start this interview off right. Bring it in. So what do you most want to open and play in your black-white deck? What's the key cards to that?
Rarity too? Any rarity?
Any rarity.
Ooh. tricky question.
I like to ask the hard-hitting questions. Yeah. I'm a journalist.
Livola, maybe?
Okay, well, yeah. All right, Greg Orange, yep. Hometown hero. Minnesota thanks. Boy right here.
Yeah.
You got your normal orange ensemble. We have orange sweater, yeah. Orange shirt. You even have orange shoelaces.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty good. You wore an orange jacket in Vancouver.
Yeah. That's a good color, but...
How are you feeling this pro tour?
Oh, probably going to win the whole thing, I assume.
You know what? The funniest thing is, you're so casual about it, but I believe you because you're so good at magic.
We'll see what happens.
This is what happens. He's like, I'm like, I come up to you at any event. I'm like, oh, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm like, no big deal. What was it like to win GP Vancouver?
It was pretty sweet. I enjoyed it.
That's the most casual way anybody has ever talked about winning GP. How did you do it? Were you practicing a lot of limited coming up to that event?
I practiced a fair amount. I do a draft weekend before each pro tour where I get together with some of the guys from like Team Ultra Pro and some of the other pros from the Midwest. And so I'd done maybe about 8 or 10 drafts prior to the GP. But this format, I enjoy it. It seems very intuitive. So it felt pretty good.
Back through here is where all the production happens. Here's the Whisper Cube, where our hosts will be and nobody will be able to tell what they're saying. They're cut off from everybody. Over here is sometimes where I sit, right here at this chair, and I can switch between cards in hand and showing people the card that the player has just played. Here's where the director of the show sits, over here, and you can see every camera angle that the Pro Tour has to offer. We've got the feature match area right there. We've got some graphics right here. We have the news desk down there, and they control everything right here. So it's like they build an enormous TV studio in a convention center just for the Pro Tour, which is pretty neat. Good luck, high five.
That was a really awesome set of interviews and tours.
Hey, thanks, Megan.
Yeah.
I have herpes.
Maria, we don't even know that. Keep that to your goddamn self.
I don't, but what I was trying to say is what was I trying to say?
What? I don't know.
I hope you learn something. That's what I was trying to say.
You put hope and learn together.
That's what it was.
Hearn.
I hope you heard something.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch, it was incredibly exciting, especially because going into the weekend, there had been like a pretty good black-white Eldrazi deck that had been doing well, I think, on Magic Online. But yeah. I don't think anybody super knew what was coming when it came to the Eldrazi. Like, nobody was like, oh, every single deck almost in the top 8 is going to be Eldrazi.
I think that they truly, you know, you don't see it all that often. I think, the Pro Tour, I think it was Pro Tour Theros when those two, like, it was two mono blue devotion decks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the top 8. And there was also like a green devotion and a black devotion. Like, that felt like it really, you know, like they broke that format. They figured it out. They were like, devotion is where it's at. And I feel like it's so surprising because, you know, so many people are complaining about having a modern Pro Tour at all. They're like, there's just no room for innovation in modern. You just see the same things. They have to make bannings to make it more interesting so we don't just see the same stuff all the time. Why even bother doing it? And I feel like this weekend was like, well, that's why you do it, because sometimes
it is exciting.
They, you know, they crack it wide open and it's like, holy cow, nobody saw this coming, but here it is.
Yeah, people were saying they haven't seen this broken of a format since Cobblade, which was it was quite a while ago.
I mean, 6 copies in the top 8 is just absurd.
And it was fun to see the deck kind of like make its way up as the weekend progressed.
Yeah, so like, I was actually rewatching, or because like I was at work on Friday, so I couldn't always like watch it while it was happening. So I like to the week after like go back and watch the broadcasts the whole way through.
Yeah,
and it was really funny because I was watching the news desk as they're getting ready to go into the modern portion for the first time. They're like, maybe there'll be some old Eldrazi decks. You know, we'll definitely see some today, but who knows if they'll make it into tomorrow? Like, we might not see them tomorrow, but we'll definitely see them today. And I was just like, you guys don't even know what's coming.
You don't even know.
You don't know what's about to happen to you.
I know. It was really great. And I think that's one of my favorite things to see is, you know, teams, that's the point of teams, right? Is working together to try and make something incredibly awesome happen.
Yeah.
And when they finally do it and when they crack the code and break through, it's just incredibly exciting to watch. And I know a lot of people were kind of complaining about the fact that 6 of the 8 were Eldrazi decks, which, you know, I guess is somewhat, is a legitimate claim. But at the same time, I think now there is going to be a major effort and push for people to create decks that can beat the Eldrazi deck, which I think is very flavorful.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't just see Eldrazi versus a deck that beats Eldrazi.
Like the format isn't necessarily more, like just because Eldrazi can be beaten, if you have to play a specific deck to do it, it's not helpful if the format boils down to those two decks. But who knows?
Who knows? Maybe there will be a, you know, a couple of decks that are, I guess what it comes down to why this deck is so powerful is because lands that tap for more than one mana are pretty good.
Yep. They're just, they're pretty broken when it comes down to it. So when you have a land that, you know, that's like, oh, Eldrazi spells, and it's like, well, if everything in my deck's an Eldrazi, then
you're like, sweet.
This land just says tap for two, no downside.
Eye of Eugene, I mean, okay, reduce my colorless casting cost by 2 means I can play Eldrazi Mimic, Endless One on turn one.
I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
I saw that happen. I think that was, I think that was Tau versus LSV, and I think he was just sitting there like, yep, that just happened to me. I might be wrong, but it definitely happened in some match.
Or the ones that were like just as backbreaking were the Exile Simeon Spirit Guide on turn one and play a Chalice on one.
Yeah.
Like, I just rewatched the match where Makihito Maharo was playing Burn, and his opponent on, which I don't remember who his opponent was, on turn one, like, not even knowing the deck that he was on, just, like, chaliced for one using a Simeon Spirit Guide in the land. And, like, it's just like, well, like, I don't know that
he
can cast, like, one spell the entirety of that game.
Same with Affinity, if you can chalice for 1 or 2, or even 0 in some cases.
Yeah.
I can shut it down pretty good. And that card's not new or anything, but that was a fun interaction to see. And I guess not fun for the player on the other end of it.
It was completely absurd.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Infect and Affinity would be higher up than they ended up being. We did have Affinity in the top 8.
Well, there were two. I mean, Affinity was the only thing that managed to crack that top 8 alongside the Eldrazi. So.
And Affinity, wow, do I have a lot more respect for that deck. I guess I didn't know it very well going into this tournament, but it is extremely complicated to play.
Yeah.
And I would see players just sitting there, just thinking, basically thinking their brains out. I could see their brains like oozing out of their ears and being sucked back in to make a play. It's really gross imagery I just gave you right there. But gross. But it was incredible the math that I saw players doing this weekend.
Yeah.
And just getting a chance to watch over LSV's shoulder or watch notably Paolo Vito Dama de Rosa play Limited.
Yeah.
And I've watched Paolo play before, and it's like another level, honestly.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Because you'll see players and you'll be like, oh yeah, that's what I would do. And then I watch him play and I was like, no, I would have never thought of that in a 1,000 years. But you're right, Paolo. You know, it was.
You're goddamn right.
Oh, God, Paolo, you're so good. LSV, obviously, everybody knows he's so good. He made the top 8 again, which was great.
Was awesome. Suck it, all those people who are always like, see you in the booth on Sunday.
Yeah.
I felt really vindicated. I was just like, do you know what? That's not what he's there for. He's not at the Pro Tour so that you can watch him in the booth on Sunday. He's there to top 8 that mofo.
Yeah, and he did.
And he sure did.
That was a great story. Awesome. I legitimately was extremely happy that Tau managed to pull out the win in the Pro Tour because he was just a really nice guy. And his deck, which was my favorite deck of the Eldrazi decks.
Yeah.
So this was Team East-West Bowl, and they made the blue-red Eldrazi deck, which the reason I liked it was because it looked almost like a draft deck. I mean, it was playing Eldrazi Sky Spawner.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, except for the fact that it has a land that taps for 2.
Yeah, but all of this. Vile Aggregate? It's playing Vile Aggregate. That's a draft card.
Yeah, man.
I love that. It made me feel so happy for some reason, you know? Like,
pretty sweet.
My draft decks had a really good or almost this deck. Eldrazi Obligator, I loved it.
Yeah.
But I mean, who is the real, you know, like, top dog of these Eldrazi decks?
The Eldrazi.
Reality Smasher.
Oh, God, yeah. 5/5.
Boom.
5/5 trample haste.
Yeah, smash your face.
Oof. Although I was also super impressed with Eldrazi Mimic. Sometimes, yeah, like you said, they could play one on turn one, and then sometimes get out like a Thought Knot Seer on turn, yeah, two, and it's like, oh, I'll hit you four on turn two. That's just absurd.
I know, and a lot of people are saying, well, the match comes down to whoever plays their first Reality Smasher. That might be somewhat true. I don't think it's entirely true, but Reality Smasher definitely smashed some realities this weekend,
mm-hmm,
for sure.
I was also... Nope, my brain just went completely blank.
Did you want to... Megan's been having some trouble with draft, and we did see draft this weekend as well, which was exciting. And I think it... You know, I'm not having trouble with it too, but I think it was kind of indicative of what we're having trouble with. Like, I can only win with green white allies.
Maria, I've drafted every color pair and none of them has worked for me. There is no color pair with which I can win.
Megan,
I
know how you feel.
I've drafted black white allies, green white, red white, like blue white, black red,
ooh,
black blue black, like the whole thing. Spectrum.
You made an angry tweet the other night.
I really did.
You rage tweeted.
At 4 a.m.
It was all caps.
It wasn't all caps. I was really mad.
But, you know, I feel you. I, too, am having a really hard time. I did pretty bad in coverage drafts this weekend, for which I was quite sad. I did win a judge draft, but I did not actually have to play. I had 2 Nissa's Judgments in that deck, so...
That's absurd.
I mean, that... is a good
that card is real good.
So anyway, I don't know. All I can play is green white. That's it. Full stop. No, I can't win with anything else. I don't know why. I feel like I need a psychologist to come in here and be like, let's talk this through.
I know, right?
Do you have some kind of mental block that you can't win with Surge?
Or is Surge
just missing? I don't know. Is it me?
I don't know. I don't know, Maria.
Okay.
I guess I just am, you know, I feel like I'm going to have to keep... I just need to win one because I'm going to keep obsessively drafting this set
until I win. What if there's no answer, though?
I mean, there has to be. Even if there's no, like, concrete answer, if I draft it enough, eventually I'll get decent at it, right? Or maybe I'm just always going to be terrible at Oath of the Gatewatch draft.
Gee, like,
Lord knows I was true of Fate Reforged.
It's okay. I mean, sometimes there's formats that don't line up with people. That just happens. But this one feels like such a conundrum to me.
I know.
That I just...
And I guess I feel like I'm coming down real hard after like my high.
Yeah, you were
on a
streak.
During BFC, I just rocked that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I had like just an insane amount of boosters.
And then they all faded into obscurity.
They really did. They really did.
Yeah, so somebody help us solve this format. I don't know.
Working for you, man. And if you say draft white, because I was...
draft white.
Well, no, but I was watching Doc's stream last night, and I was like, Doc, how do I win this format? And like so many people in chat and even Doc were like, you have to draft white. And I was like, I've been drafting white. What do you think I've been doing? Like, I get it. I get it, you guys.
I think white can support 4 drafters at the table.
Jesus.
And that's almost levels of blue from M14.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
Which is absurd. Anyway.
Which is absurd.
Megan, I have a story to tell you.
Tell me the story.
Okay. Get ready for this action. So at the Pro Tour, I asked Ian Duke this question. Are there ever decks in the Future League, which is the league at Wizards of the Coast? God, my Minnesotan accent just climbed out of my mouth and smacked the microphone right there. At Wizards of the Coast, they have the Future League, which attempts to replicate what Standard or Modern might look like in the future based on new sets that are coming out, just to make sure they don't break anything too much. Yeah. Which, you know, sometimes that still happens, but they do their best. So I asked him, are there ever any decks that you guys find in the Future League that don't end up getting found by pro players? And you're kind of like, oh, I thought that deck would be so powerful. They never found it.
Ooh.
And he was like, yes.
Ah! Like and, what?
Okay, so here's one. The deck, like, I should pull this card up. Vamp for a second.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Let me tell you some...
not the old-timey newscaster. God.
Hey, everybody. Listen, extra, extra, extra. Read all about it. There's been some crazy things happening in the modern world. All of the Eldrazi are running rampant. But luckily, in the world of Limited, it seems like the allies are making a comeback. How about that?
Okay.
So if you're placing bets out there, run to your bookie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Here's the story of this card. And he said I could tell the story on the air. I double checked.
Okay.
So they designed a standard deck around the card. Do you remember this card? First response.
Is it the enchantment that if you got dealt damage, you got a soldier?
Yep. Okay. So I made a lot of fun of this card because it sounds like a pregnancy test.
it really does.
And it says, it's 3 and a white. At the beginning of each upkeep, if you lost life last turn, put a 1/1 white soldier creature token onto the battlefield. Okay, so the way they thought about this card was because there was Pain Lance in the set, that it was like a double Bitter Blossom.
Yeah.
Because you could just tap for mana and you would always get 2 soldiers.
Yeah.
So they were like, this card's super broken. Like, somebody's going to find this deck and it's going to be amazing. Nobody ever found it. And they were like, huh. Because they don't know if it just maybe wasn't as strong as they thought it was going to be, or perhaps just nobody ever found it. Huh. And here's the
thing.
Did
they say like what color set it was in?
No.
Okay.
But they said this, which I found very interesting. They said, that's why Siege Rhino has Trample. Because of this deck that they found that they thought was going to be huge in Standard.
So they gave it Trample. So they gave it Trample. Had a bunch of 1/1s, it didn't matter.
Yep.
Oh, snap.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
Anyway, we got to talk to Ian some more. Get him on the show because that story was fascinating. That's
super interesting.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have more gems like that in the future, but I just thought that was so cool.
That's crazy. God, I wonder what that deck looked like.
Siege Rhino backstory. Maybe we'll find out. We could email somebody and see if they could send us that. I don't know if they're allowed to or not.
All right, we'll check. If we can get it for you, we'll get it for you.
Yeah, we will.
Game on, Megan. All right, you guys, we're going to take a new approach to Pack Wars, where Maria and I are each going to crack a booster. I'm going to crack an Oath.
I've got Zendikar.
She's going to crack a Zendikar. And we're going to play the old-fashioned game of war where we'll shuffle them up, and then we'll each flip over a card, and then we're going to argue our case for which one would win that war.
Okay, but should we do it in order so that our rares aren't fighting the commons?
Sometimes rares are total crap.
That's true.
I think we just crack it open and we do it random.
Okay. Not looking. Let's have our lands fight too. Just kidding. I took it off. All right. Shuffle up and deal. Did you ever used to watch, like celebrity poker?
No.
Man, I did.
Sometimes when I go out. Like, if I go out to, like, a bar where there's TVs, I appreciate when they have poker on instead of,
sports?
Sports.
Sports ball?
You know, I like watching sports, though.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
I ate 2 steaks.
You ate 2 steaks?
They were small-ish while watching the Super Bowl.
That's insane!
They were sort of small.
That's insane.
I was hungry.
That's insane!
I love steak.
That's crazy.
Megan is roughly the size of 1 steak, so I understand your shock. Okay. Ready, set.
Call me all 1 steak, Megan.
Flip them. Oh, I win.
Yep, I have holdout settlement. Maria has stasis snare. Not even going to talk it through.
Not even a contest. Right. Let's make a pile to see who's one wins at the end.
Okay, so you get that one. 1, 2, 3, go.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh! No!
It's a Nissa Voice of Zendikar, you guys.
Yes.
Nice.
Versus Nurkana Assassin.
I win that one. It's not gonna, pretty easily.
I'm not going to win that one.
Look at it. She's it's so pretty. Nice.
That looks cool. Yay. Great
one,
crack.
1, 2, 3.
Flip it. Ooh.
Ooh. Comparative analysis. McKindy Slide Runner.
McKindy.
Ah. But mine says draw 2 cards.
Yours is just
at
divination.
Instant speed.
It's instant. Oh, no.
You can have it.
Come on. McKindy's a good card. You got to block that thing or you're going to die.
I mean, but I like drawing cards. One, two, three. I have Spawnbinder Mage.
Seek the Wilds.
I win.
You win.
Tapping down creatures. I mean, this card is, I think, better than it seemed originally.
Yeah,
because
it's very good.
As people have pointed out, like, you have to tap 2 creatures to tap one of theirs. But if they have, like, a flyer or, like, only one big dude...
Or a Desolation Twin, like, exactly. Who cares? But also Spawnbinder Mage, the most annoying card in Limited. And I'm just going to put it out there. It's way more annoying than Blinding Drone, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Because of the 4 toughness.
A Corpse Churn.
Speaking of Desolation Twin, the twins are in town.
Ooh, I think you win that one. Even though Desolation Twin is not meh.
It's not that good. It's better than Corpse Churn.
I did play a draft in Vancouver.
Yeah?
Where my opponent was a sick blue-red control deck. Like, he had Jorien.
Cool.
And would just draw... He drew so many cards, and, like, Eugene's Insight and Coastal Discovery.
Nice.
And Kozilek's Return.
Oh.
Which is really what helped, like, that's really what made that deck. If he hadn't had Kozilek's Return, I think I would have had it. It just killed everything I had.
Do you want to know this story?
Wait, but then his finisher was Desolation Twin, and he actually cast it.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed.
It's pretty good.
And I mean, it was good.
I had Kozilek's Return in a draft deck this weekend as well.
Uh-huh.
And it was a red-white allies deck, which I thought was performed like a complete pile of butts. Even though a lot of people can make it work, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I had that. And I also had the ally that grants indestructible.
Oh, yeah.
So I would I would grant indestructible to all my dudes and then just wipe the opponent's board with Kozilek's Return.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty dirty.
Pretty sick.
Okay.
Also, it's instant. Kozilek's Return is, that's just insane.
I know. I thought we were going to see it more. I thought we were going to see Tron this weekend because of Kozilek's Return, but
those Eldrazi's came along and effed everybody up.
One, two, three. Ooh.
Oh, Spark Mage's Gambit outnumber. You win.
Outnumber. I mean, yeah, not
Gambit is like actually like not the worst thing that ever happened.
No, I don't think so either.
But outnumber is still solid.
You gotta respect that.
One, two, three. Ooh, I have Warping Whale versus Slab Hammer. I got totally wrecked by someone playing Slab Hammer yesterday.
I mean, it can totally wreck you.
To be fair, I had 9 lands in play.
Do you want to know something though?
What?
I don't know.
And Warping Whale is honestly not that good.
It is. Well, no, it's not that good. I mean, it's fine. I think it's kind of like a C-D+ kind of card.
It really is not that good.
But in some situations you want it in your deck, but it's just really tough to cast. And what it does is not super impactful.
No. Unless you counter an Oblivion Strike, in which case you win all day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think you still win this one.
Yeah, I think Slab Hammer is just, in the right deck, it's just going to be straight better.
Yeah.
More often than Warping Whale.
One, two, three.
Ooh.
Blinding Drone Channeler.
Wow.
Ooh. I think it's Channeler.
Because it's more versatile?
Yes. And honestly, having activated in the first week of Oath of the Gatewatch, having activated Blinding Drone more times than I think anyone else on the face of the planet, I can say that, you know what? It's fine, but not amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the colorless mana for it, so you've got to sacrifice some of your picks to make your mana base work.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Kozilek's Channel is still like a 4-4.
It's a 4-4-5.
Sometimes I'm just like, I just need this 4-4.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big body.
Ugh. It is a big body.
I dropped it! Okay, I got it.
Okay.
All right, we'll give it to the Channeler, even though I think a lot of people will dispute that pick.
That's totally fair.
But it's, you know, goes in more decks.
And yeah, it totally does. It goes in any deck.
One, two, three.
Lead by Example.
Culling Drone.
Ooh, this is interesting.
This is interesting because Lead by Example goes in my favorite deck.
Green-white.
Green-white support.
Yes.
And
but it's no shoulder to shoulder.
No, it is not. You don't draw a card. It
you
is an
really
instant.
Don't.
But can I tell you something? I've what? Actually never... the times I've like gotten quote-unquote people with Lead by Example is very small.
Yeah.
Because people are expecting a trick usually from green. So I will just play it and it's like a sorcery.
Yeah. And I feel like Culling Drone fits into like it's a two for twos are better than they were.
They are.
I think they're getting better. So I think you get it again.
God, I don't know. I'm close on that one. I mean, I agree. I just like support.
You have a strong preference for the green-white deck.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh, Malakir Soothsayer.
Coral Helm Guide.
Draw a card.
All right, Megan, here you go. Yum, yum, yum. All right.
One, two, three. Kozilek's Pathfinder.
Smite the Monstrous.
Smite.
Really?
You like Pathfinder?
I like Pathfinder. Here's why.
Okay.
Pathfinder is a 5/5 for 6, which is not an absurd mana cost in today's environment.
It really isn't.
They have to respect it or deal with it or it's going to kill them.
That's very
Smite
true.
The Monstrous, I feel, has not been showing up in a lot of decks. I mean, it'll happen here or there and it'll be relevant here or there.
Well,
but
you also only get one pack of BFC these
days.
Right,
that's true. And I think there are not as many cards you want to kill with Smite anymore.
That's very true.
Sometimes you need to get a Blinding Drone out of the way or you need to tap your Spawn Binder. You need to kill that Spawn Binder Mage.
And it doesn't do it.
It doesn't do it.
To be fair, you'd want to Smite this Pathfinder.
You would.
But I'll take it.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying. I agree. I haven't found Smite to be as great.
Okay.
One, two, three. Core Scythe Master.
Retreat to Coral Helm.
I've been really happy with Core Scythe Master. It is quite good.
I mean, if you're attacking,
you want that
card.
I think in that green-white deck, like, that's what you're doing.
You want to be attacking.
Especially if you, like, support onto it. If you go, like, turn 3 Scythe Master, turn 4 Saddleback
Lagak.
it's just like, we'll smash you for four.
Yep.
And there's not really anything you can do about it.
You know what I want to say about Scythe Master is?
What?
That I would rather have a McKindy Aeronaut.
That's true.
But.
But I actually think if it's like between like four Aeronauts and no Scythe Masters, or like three Aeronauts, a Scythe Master, I'd go with one Scythe Master.
Sure. I would make that call too.
Yeah.
Okay. You take that.
I mean, it deals like three damage is a lot.
Yeah.
And it has, especially for casting it on three to support on two, it basically has pseudo evasion because so little can block it.
Oh yeah. You're not going to block that thing if it's supported.
You really, yeah.
Saddleback looking.
Or even honestly, if it's so not good. Supported yet, there's actually like a lot of stuff has three toughness in this format.
Yeah.
And it just steamrolls it's right like, through who that cares? Shit.
All right.
One, two, three.
Have I seen my rare yet?
Yeah. Desolation Twin.
Oh yeah.
Kozilek's Translator.
Tandem Tactics.
Gotta give it to the Translator.
Translator's great, blocks yep. everything, gives you mana. Tandem really Tactics is actually better than it was, I yeah. believe, because of green-white support.
I like it. And I mean, getting +1/+2 on two target creatures is pretty sweet.
And you gain life with the black-white life gain, I think, likes that. Yeah. But the Translator is just like a wall that annoys me more than maybe yeah. any
and
other card.
And 3-5 bodies have been, I think, really important in this yes. format. Like, they
stop everything.
They're the real deal. One, two, three.
Boom.
Relief Captain!
Oh, shit. Kite-tail Scout, no chance.
Yeah.
Relief Captain.
Although, I've been playing more of these.
I mean, if you don't have a...
Kite-tail Scout went from being unplayable to actually being...
Yeah.
And, like, I played a deck that went, like, it had two of these and then a bunch of Aeronauts and, like, Scythe Masters on three into Relief Captains on four.
It was good night. Sick. And you know what? I watched Jacob Wilson draft one of the days, day one at the Pro Tour, mm-hmm. draft number one, and his... Pick one, pack one was Relief Captain, and I was just like, yep.
Yeah, that card is sick.
That card is disgusting.
It's really great.
Take it. Step Glider, another one of my favorites.
Look at your friend.
Nissa, you came to visit me.
She's so pretty.
I want to point this out. I know what? I shouldn't complain because I just got Nissa, but at one of the coverage drafts, two expeditions were opened.
No.
Including a Steam Vents.
Oh,
which so is pretty. Worth like $250.
Yep, that's absurd.
And I was like, I don't have any expeditions.
Maria, we've got so many boosters to crack.
That's true.
By which I mean draft. We don't crack boosters.
No, we
this
don't.
This is a PSA. This is a don't PSA. Crack boosters.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening to our show this week. It was a great one. I hope you enjoyed all the extra content from the Pro Tour.
Pretty sweet.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, remember to tweet at us at MTAcast. Or send us an email at magicktheamateuring@gmail.com. We do have more t-shirts in our shop, magicktheamateuring.com, including mm-hmm. new XXL for men. So we've got just a boatload of shirts.
Yes, and a couple of sizes that have gone out of stock. We yep. now have back in stock.
Yep.
So if you were like, I want to buy one, and then we didn't have your size, go check again.
Guess what, we have your size now. And they're really cute.
If you want to say hi to me online while I'm losing a draft...
To be like, it's okay, man.
My username is Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm horny_unicorny. And remember, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon, which is a religious...
Which is like Patreon, except you send prayers instead of money to to godless artists who you think need some saving.
Patreon. Oh my god, if that's not real, it probably is, now that I think of it. Anyway. I mean,
if you've thought of it.
It exists.
So has the internet.
Yep. Anyway, patreon.com/MTAcast. Show us some love and support the show. If it's something that you enjoy every week, we would love to have your support and join our Patreon family. We mm-hmm. have great rewards for every level of donation. So, yeah.
Remember to check out our videos on Tulare Community College, as well as all of the other sweet videos over there. There's a new Office Hours with Liliana.
Oh, yes.
Which I helped write.
It's great, you guys.
And I helped write another one, which will be coming soon. I can't tell Ooh. You who it is. But I'm
excited.
Very excited. So yeah, and there's also lots of great product reviews and other super informational like deck techs and that mm-hmm. sort of thing on the site. So tons of great stuff. Go check it out.
And remember to read dailymtg.com for mm-hmm. Megan and my columns.
That's right.
I've got a column about rotation coming up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I have one about judges.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Me too.
All right. So everybody out there, you know, stay classy.
Keep it cool.
Stay sassy. And... please.
Don't passy.
Oh, I was going to say, don't be an assy.
Oh, that's better. It makes sense.